This is the BBC.
Thursday Scott Mills Daily Podcast starts now. Comedian Louisa Omerlan is brilliant on today's Innuendo Bingo. Such a laugh. Alice plays Real or No Real. And what instantly turned you off on someone's dating bio? Scott Mills, BBC Radio. Good afternoon, it's Scott Mills. Today is an Innuendo Bingo day. You ready for it, Chris?
I'm ready for it.
Are you feeling better?
Well, I can't say no, can I? Because otherwise we'd have to cancel Innuendo Bingo.
So say yes.
So I'm fine. I'm ready for it.
Okay. Because I noticed you're a little bit hesitant to soak Danny Howard on Tuesday, but that's because you're being nice and you don't want him to catch your germs.
That's it. I'm just going to be a respectful player today.
Absolutely. So we've got Louisa Omerlan coming in at 1:45. She actually came and helped us out on the Lolathon that we did. Very funny lady. She's on BBC Three, a show called What Would Beyonce Do? And we'll talk to her more about that. And she is up for getting drenched today, she just said on social media. Let's make it a wet one at 1:45.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
I'm saying it ain't nothing changed. Trust it ain't nothing changed. Say it ain't nothing changed. Trust it ain't nothing changed. I'm saying ain't nothing changed. I'm saying ain't nothing changed. Brother, cause ain't nothing changed. Saying ain't nothing changed. Nah, cause ain't nothing changed. Nah, cause ain't nothing changed.
I love the brass.
I'm saying ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. Trust, cause ain't nothing changed. Cause ain't nothing changed. Say it ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. Say it ain't.
Do that really classy one at the end.
Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed.
That's a snake charm one. Ruined it now. It's funny, isn't it? It's I think we need more brass, like a better range of brass. That's the one.
That was Laura Connor. Ain't nothing changed now with extra brass. I enjoyed that.
Scott Mills.
Here's Louisa Omerlan. Hello.
Hello.
Do you know what? Last time I saw you, I was knackered.
Mate, you were pretty out of it, I won't lie.
So that was on the Lolathon, the 24-hour show we did for Comic Relief. And then, obviously, you hosted a bit of Comic Relief as well.
I did. It was so exciting to be part of that lineup. I mean, Lenny Henry and Jonathan Ross and, like, French and Saunders were involved. I mean, there was no pressure, guys, no pressure.
Was that surreal? Because, obviously, you've grown up watching those guys on TV.
Are you joking? It was amazing. I felt like, oh, somebody pinched me. It felt amazing to be amongst that lineup.
I know.
And, like, it was such a cool vibe and everyone's in such a good spirit because they all just want to raise as much money as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was amazing. Like, Dawn French was saying hello to my mum and I was like, what? This is
how's
so random.
How this happened?
Because
I thought it was surreal when we were there because obviously we were doing a very small bit when we did Innuendo Bingo there.
Yeah.
But we saw you rehearsing.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, oh my God, this whole thing is mad. This is Comic Relief. I've watched this for years and years and years.
Yeah.
But to host it must be another
it was,
level.
So when I went to, they said, oh, I'll come over to Richard Curtis's house for one of the rehearsals. And I thought they were doing me a favour, right? Because I thought, they said initially, oh, Louisa, you can do a game show with your mum. I was like, great. And then I thought, oh, they've invited me around as a favour. And I walked in and it was Sally Phillips, Russell Brand, Miranda and, oh, I've forgotten all their names now. There's loads of really famous people.
That's
and I was like,
love.
What? I know, right? Yeah. And I was like, oh my days, what am I? This is amazing.
What an honour though, because we felt
such
this
an
as well. Like an honour to be asked to do that, you know?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? But not as much as an honour as it is to be here. Hello.
Shut up.
It's the big
one. Go on. So I'm really excited for you because your show, which started off as at the Edinburgh Fringe.
That's right. Yeah.
What Would Beyonce Do? Which is like a soundtrack of Beyonce's best-known hits. That's the show. You can see it on BBC iPlayer now. It's going to BBC One.
I'm so excited. On May the 19th, after Graham Norton, it's going to get a BBC One showing.
That's mad.
And it's my debut stand-up show. It's like my debut stand-up show from 5 years ago that started in a room above a pub for free.
Yeah.
You could get like 60 people in, people were like squashing, and like now it's going on BBC One. Like, it's amazing.
I remember seeing the posters for your show.
Yeah.
5 years ago when we were, because we used to do our show from Edinburgh.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah,
it's gone from that to BBC One.
To BBC One. It's pretty amazing. Like, I'm pretty I'm pretty chuffed, actually.
Is that journey? I mean, describe that journey. So there must have been a point at Edinburgh Fringe. Am I right in thinking you've got to, like, pay to book out a room to perform in at some point, like, right at the early stages?
You do. So when you first book out... So normally you have an agent, and an agent books the room for you. And to do an Edinburgh show, people don't realise it can cost about £12,000, £13,000 to a paid show. I couldn't afford that, and I didn't have an agent. So I was like, well, I'll do it on the free Fringe then, where you pay £50 for a room, and you say it's a free show, and, like, people can just come in, and they can pay what they want in a bucket donation afterwards. And I was just really hopeful that people would like it. I was just like, oh, if I can just get people to like it, I'll be really happy. If I can get one review and maybe an agent out of it, that'd be really nice. And then it went on and just became like my career for the last 5 years.
So. I love hearing stories like this about where it starts all like, you know, like this.
Yeah.
And this.
No,
you're so successful now.
Well,
and about to go. Because that's the thing, you're famous right now, but I think you're about to be super famous.
Don't be
thinking
you're
going to
be one of
those.
When you're all over BBC One as like one of the main hosts and comedians, right?
Yes, me.
And when you're going left on a plane, don't be bidding us off.
No, I'll be here every day, mate. You won't be able to get rid of me. I'll be here every day.
I think what's great about your comedy as well is it seems so relatable to so many people. Like, I always see your comedy clipped up as Facebook clips that are then shared by so many people.
Thank you.
We enjoyed the thigh gaps.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, that's had millions of views.
Yeah, because comedy is such a good way to get people talk about things like mental health or depression or body image. Like, that stuff is so depressing and boring that if you can make it fun and accessible,
more people will relate
and get on a board, and then I just think it makes people feel better about themselves.
Yeah, but even I took stuff away from that. Like, I thought, I love your phrase upgrade.
Yeah,
like,
and upgrade.
Even, but I don't think that was just even aimed towards girls. Like, you said something on that as well, which I thought was really interesting, that let's say you go up to a girl and you say, oh, nice dress.
Yeah.
And then they're really apologetic
about
it.
They're so quick. I
do this. Like, not that long ago, we had Amy Schumer on the show.
Right.
And
the first thing he does is kind of apologise. Cause British. Listen to this.
I apologised, like, whilst introducing myself.
And in Australia, you can say whatever you want there.
That's not how it is here.
It's really not.
Yeah.
No, you've got to be very careful here. In fact, you've made me really aware of myself now, because when I first met Amy... I actually apologised before I even said my name. I was like, oh, sorry, I'm Chris.
Why did you say
sorry? Is that a British thing?
Yeah, it's very British to apologise constantly for no reason.
Yeah, he was like, hello, I'm Chris.
Funny. Yeah. It's so weird. Why do we do that? We're so self-deprecating. It's not good. Like, it needs to, you don't have to be super confident, but please, you don't have to be that insecure either about yourself.
Stop apologising for yourself.
Just for breathing. Like, oh, sorry, hello, sorry. Like,
sorry. Right, okay. Are you hyped for Innuendo Bingo
today?
Mate,
I cannot wait for Innuendo Bingo.
Okay, it's happening next with Louisa Omerlin on BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
And it's time to play the best game on radio.
It's time to witness the wetness. This is Innuendo Bingo.
I'm excited that Louisa Omerlin is here today playing Innuendo Bingo, her new show, BBC One. It's been on BBC Three, it's on iPlayer already, but BBC One, 19th of May, what would Beyoncé do?
Ooh.
Straight after Graham Norton.
Very exciting.
So good. Right, okay. Are we ready? The game is to just put as much water as you can physically handle in your mouth, please. The clips are from radio and TV that people have sent in to us. And Innuendo Bingo is happening right now. Video for you later if you want to watch. Okay, guys, here we go. Don't be shy just because you're a newbie, Louisa. Just go for him.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
First up, we're going to the World Championship Snooker on BBC One. Snooker's a little bit like golf to me. It's a game about balls that goes on really far too long. And it's kind of no wonder the cameramen get bored and point their attention to other more interesting things. Like this.
There you saw an excellent shot of Barry Hawkins' tip, slightly domed.
No hands, Louisa, if it's going to come out on him. Barry Hawkins there, as you've never seen him before.
An excellent shot of Barry Hawkins' tip, slightly domed.
Yes, Louisa, slightly domed. More water, please. Next, we're going over to MasterChef on BBC One and one of our favourite clips from earlier this week. We join the action at a very tense moment and a very odd request here from Greg Wallace.
Time's up! Stop, please!
How did it go?
I don't know.
That's beautiful!
Saliha, could you bring your Poussin up here, please?
I had that one a couple of days ago. It's the best.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow.
Oh, this is too fun. Can I just do it anyway?
Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
This is too much fun.
Loving it, aren't you?
Oh, mate.
Oh, it's going to work one.
Come on, bring it. Bring
so
it,
that,
mate,
was, that was MasterChef Greg Wallace there.
Saliha, could you bring your Poussin up here, please?
Oh, no. Oh,
wow. She is a squirter, that's for
this
sure.
This is mad. Okay, good.
Wow. More water, please.
Oh, my word.
Hmm. Poussin, of course, tastes just like chicken.
Oh, how'd you get it on my back?
Who knew? Just like chicken.
Okay, Poussin.
Here we go. Laura sent us that one. If you spot an innuendo, tell us what time it was on, what channel, and email it to scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Thanks. Next... An absolute classic from Channel 4's Sunday Brunch. Water, please. Now, here's presenter Simon Rimmer.
Oh, Louisa. Come on! This is silly.
Oh, I'm loving you on this game so much.
I honestly thought this might be not so...
Oh, this face is so cute.
Simon Rimmer and Sunday Brunch offering his guests on a munch... Well, offering them something they really couldn't refuse to munch on.
So that's all on next week's show.
Right.
There we go. Have a dig in on that. So what you get is that lovely penis you taste. You get the jam underneath. You've got that nice little bit of sauce.
What?
You get the jam and the sauce and... It sounds irresistible.
So what you get is that lovely penis you taste. You get the jam underneath. You've got that nice little bit of sauce.
Peanutty.
Peanutty taste. Oh. Everyone loves a peanutty taste.
So what you get is that lovely peanutty taste.
Water, please. Mm. Now we're going over to the 15-minute drama on BBC Four. Not a massive fan of radio drama myself, but if the storylines are more like this more often, I probably would tune in.
Mrs. Mason, the violin teacher, was tall and kind with brown hair in a bun. I thought she was the most beautiful person I'd ever met.
Your fingering has improved a lot this term.
Louisa, can you do this game every time?
Oh, my gosh. That's a really good
Your spray is impressive for a new one. It's like you've been practising in the mirror.
Your fingering has improved a lot this term.
Wow.
That was...
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Mason there talking about playing the violin. She's a violin teacher. Mm. See, it's all in the mind, radio drama. Mm. All in the mind. Next, we're going to Holmes Under the Hammer. And presenter Martin Roberts seems to have had quite a thorough insight into the goings-on at this particular house.
Are they planning to sell or let it? Time will tell if they need to prise open Anne's purse a little bit wider.
Oh, no, she's going over
a sale. Time will tell if they need to prise open Anne's purse a little bit wider.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was. I could see.
This is great today.
This is very romantic.
Isn't it? Yeah. Water, please.
Right.
Another classic now from the BBC's coverage of the boat race. A rowing competition dating back hundreds of years between Oxford and Cambridge. And still, I love the BBC's coverage at these events. The commentators always painting such a wonderful picture of what's going on. Literally, Louisa is just spitting on Chris now. Oh, because you're finding it funny. Sure.
No, I wasn't.
He has never, ever had... anything like this. I mean, it's just...
She's like right in my face.
You look so cute, Wet. You look really cute, Wet.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, it's just... It doesn't stop. This is constant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're ready.
Okay, there can be some distractions during the coverage of the boat race.
The wind and the tide working in opposition.
I don't know if you can hear it at home, but I've got the Oxford Cox in my ear.
She's gonna go.
I took it.
Took it on the chest there.
Yeah.
Another classic now from The Chase on ICV.
I'm loving this today.
Look how much joy it's bringing you. It's The Chase.
I didn't really think we bonded that well last time we met, but I think...
We were just tired.
We know each other well now.
On The Chase, I don't know how many times I have to tell you, the answer, if you're playing along at home, it's never C.
What term was used to describe a verbal assault from Margaret Thatcher? A, carpet bagging, B, hand bagging, or C, tea bagging?
Mm-hmm. The answer, of course, is B, hand bagging, not C, tea bagging.
Tea bagging.
And next...
This is mad.
One more. We're going over to Emmerdale on ITV. And Bernice, the owner of Emmerdale's beauty parlour, Bernice and Beauty, is heading into town to grab some supplies. I don't really watch this show, but by all accounts, her shop does really well. And when this is on offer, you can see why.
Hi.
Quiet morning?
Yeah, just popping into town. Need to get some milk. I like to offer my clients a complimentary cup of my honeybush.
And that was a tea high in oxidants, the honeybush tea. Louisa Amelun, it's been absolutely brilliant having you in today. Thank you for playing in your bingo.
Yes, thank you.
That was an awesome game.
Scott Mills.
Zayn Malik absolutely loves a bit of a ruckus, doesn't he? Just likes a little bit of to stir it up now and again, doesn't he?
Is this with this party next door? Well, we don't know if it's beef, do we?
Well, it would suggest that it is beef. Did you hear Steve Holden on Entertainment News on Grimmy's show this morning? So they've got that track out and they were all kind of pally up until the release of that. But now it looks like Party Next Door has unfollowed and deleted everything, all trace of Zayn from any part of his social media. So like it's like he never existed.
Which is...
What's he done wrong?
It's more like a breakup, that.
Yeah, but this is a naughty boy situation again, isn't it?
It is. A naughty boy got a hard time for that from all One Direction fans. Do you remember?
Yeah, but there's no smoke without fire. Ho! What's Zayn doing? Also, I'm enjoying the carnival vibe that, like... Every track is starting to have at the moment. Because you know for a while, everything's been like, womp, 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 womp. Now, listen to the beginning of Zayn. Now listen to the beginning of New Paramore.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
Carnival.
We had a pop emergency with this last week and played it first. It's Paramore.
Mills.
I saw a brilliant interview with Harry Styles. I think it only happened yesterday, and it's an interview in France for what I imagine is a big French TV show.
I really enjoy the European interviews that people have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you see how in most interviews he's obviously very guarded and there's a huge amount of people around Harry Styles now, you know, one of the world's biggest pop stars. Yet with this French interview, he's obviously got to have a translator in his ear. But the questions are so direct.
I know, that's what I love about them.
It's like, are you wearing a loafer? but it like it switches from that to, do you ever speak to Niall? Wow. Like it just floats around all these different issues.
Because of language barrier, questions that we would never get away with asking. So they're asking them in French and Harry's having it translated in his ear.
So there's an awkward silence.
Oh, God.
And then also, he's not sure whether really... I mean, he must have done this loads of times, but it's kind of a fine line between answering the questions in full or answering the questions in a sort of, smaller way so that everyone can understand it.
One of my favourite questions they asked, what do you think of the Brexit?
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
You wouldn't normally ask Harry Styles that.
You just see his face. Yeah. He's so shocked.
Stress. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Scott.
Hello there. Whereabouts are you today?
I'm in sunny Knutsford.
Oh, in Knutsford, Cheshire, lush.
Yeah.
I believe that's where The Real Housewives of Cheshire is set, or around there anyway.
I've never watched that. Is any good?
Well, it's right on my street.
No, I've never watched it myself.
Not as good as the ones in America, though. I could binge watch Atlanta all day.
But then there's Real Housewives shows in lots of areas, isn't it? Under different names.
Yeah, you got your Real Housewives of Orange County, you got Chicago, you've got Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many. But then obviously they've done some here as well now. I love the Cheshire one. So, Ryan, where are you from?
I'm from Wigan.
Okay, and what's your job?
I'm a lorry driver.
But someone's told me it's your last day today.
It certainly is. I'm going driving a different type of lorry though on Tuesday.
Oh, a different type of lorry?
Yep.
Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, pay is better, but it's going to be a bit of a funny smell because it's recycled rubbish. So,
So a bit more money, but slightly different smell. All good.
Yeah.
Here's what I've got for you today, Ryan. Good song. Tiny Temper and Labyrinth with Frisky. Forgot about this one. Frisky.
Yeah, that's a banger, Scott, actually. Okay, you can have that banger or you can have My Choice Say, which is this. Classic me.
Oh, someone's hit the emergency button.
It's Calvin Harris. Surprise. And The Disciples. How Deep Is Your Love?
I thought Chris only brought these out on a Friday. I thought that was Calvin Harris was his bag.
No, he brings out Chasing Status or Calvin Harris when he's got no ideas.
Good songs, though.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you can't go wrong.
No, definitely not. And to be honest, this is Friday because I've got a stag do tomorrow. So
there we go.
Today is my Friday.
God.
So, honest to God, any other day, I'm usually like, yep, that one. But today... Oh, mate, yeah, you've made it hard for us.
Mm.
Oh, what can I see myself playing?
It's up to you, mate.
Come on, let's be having you.
Oh, I'll go with Chris.
Yeah.
What is going on? Someone says, I hope you got insurance, Scott, because you've just been robbed. Definitely. I mean, it's a good song, that, but I mean, yeah.
I actually, I think Frisky should have won that, maybe, but...
But it didn't.
But it didn't, and I win. Do you know what? I've won the week.
3-1 to Chris. One. You just denied the nation of would you risk it for a chocolate biscuit there, but never mind. I'll chuck that one back in at some point, you know it.
You're saying that a lot recently.
Well, it's because I'm running out.
I'll just chuck it back in.
And then your Calvin Harris comes along and steals all the good ones. Rubbish!
Scott Mills.
You know Astrid S, who was in yesterday? Our Tune of the Week artist. I'm not going to say who, but I'm convinced that she fancied one of the team.
And also, I should point out this, it's not me. It's not you.
Well, they never fancy me. No, you don't want to. Sorry for me.
Let's not name, actually.
It's definitely one of them.
Let's leave it for a mystery for their families to wander on.
Mm. Or their partners.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
It's fine. You're allowed to fancy people. Doesn't mean anything. But she did.
Well, again, I think...
Definitely did. I could tell.
There was positive signs.
Mm-hmm.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
So I was talking to a friend yesterday and she's quite picky about the bios on... I think she's on Tinder, but there's obviously dating apps. All the bios are on. You see a picture, you're like, okay, cool. Then you read, and it can just be one line in the bio and you're like, actually, no thanks.
Well, it's the first impression, isn't it? First you see the picture, then you read the bio, and that's kind of the decision that you've got to swipe with.
She was telling me yesterday she saw one topless picture of a bloke, looked like he was on holiday somewhere. Click on the bio, it just said, lads, banter, Ibiza, 100, the 100 emoji. She was like, no, swipe away. So, Vix, what's the worst thing you've ever read in a Tinder bio?
Well, I have a dating blog, which is vixmelju.com, and I see it all the time, and it's the same thing every single time. If you don't look like your pictures, I'm buying you drinks until you do.
Oh, that's...
Really charming.
Real charm. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's, like, Uber ratings. We get that a lot. People reviewing themselves, giving themselves, like, 5 stars from my mum. Yeah.
So you've done a whole blog about this.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a Twitter thing that I do every so often where I just go on sort of like live Tinder or live dating app and have a look at the bios, and anything completely cringe or just quite rude, I will put onto Twitter and other people can experience it too.
Are you Vix Swipes?
I am, yeah.
I've seen this. Are these ones that you have got from other people or ones that you've experienced yourself?
Mainly myself. There's only been a couple of times that people have sent me them. But, yeah, that's from a year of trawling the apps. So, yeah.
And you're attracting the type of people that put sort of reviews on the front of their biogs?
Apparently so. I live in Southwest London. Maybe it's a thing. Like every other person puts their Uber rating.
I guess it's like, look, I'm really honest and trustworthy and clean and polite.
My Uber driver thinks I'm a 4.73. Right.
But they don't do that. They put 5 stars and nobody's ever a 5 stars. So you're already proving yourself to be a liar.
I found out mine was disappointingly low the other day and I was just thinking to myself, what have I done?
Well, just don't put it on your Tinder bio.
Well, no, but it's like, why am I mean, I'm in the threes.
Wow. Oh, gosh. That's really bad.
Why is that? What have I done that's so bad? I've not been sick in your car, from what I can remember.
Do you sing?
I don't sing.
I got marked down because I found Christina Aguilera beautiful to my Uber driver once, and he marked me down.
You marked down because of that?
Yeah.
So reviews on the front of Tinder profiles is a no-no?
Yeah, any type of review, please don't do it.
Helena.
Hi.
How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I totally agree with the reviews as well. I was going to say, like, Uber ratings is definitely a London thing because I live up in Camden. Like, Uber ratings everywhere up here. And, like, Time Out Mag, 5 stars. Another one I saw was, like, can make a great cup of tea, like, Evening Standard. Like, a lot of Evening Standard.
It's like the ones you see on the posters for theatre shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so it's fake quotes. It's, like, fake endorsements from people like Ali Plum.
yeah. Like fake, definitely a fake thing. Another thing that I see a lot is like a lot of people go to Machu Picchu. And this is like ever on Tinder, like literally everywhere. So weird.
So do you think the Machu Picchu thing is like gap year, found myself, totally sorted out as a person, yeah?
Yep, 100%.
Harry, what's the one line in the bio that puts you off?
If you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Oh, that is gross. Yeah, I've seen... Well, not that I'm on the dating apps, but I've seen that kind of thing, a few times. Rubbish.
Yeah, it's not good.
Erin.
Hiya.
What's your one that's like an immediate no?
So the one that I've seen is, message me, I don't bite, unless you want me to.
Ah!
It's so gross.
That's gross.
Also, do they actually want you to bite, really, if you followed through on that?
I don't even know what that means.
No, no one does.
Have you seen that a lot?
Yeah, probably like 3 or 4 times.
Ellen.
Hi there.
What's your one?
When you go on their Tinder bio and it says, oh, I've just got back from travelling the world.
Right, that's a no from you, is it?
No, not at all, because you know that for the next 2 to 3 years, that's all they're going to want to talk about, and every single conversation will go back to that.
Mm-hmm. When I went travelling.
True.
I get it, you had a great time, but I wasn't there.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to hear every single trip they went on.
That's so true. I get you had a good life before me.
Yeah, but now, you know, you don't need that now. I'm here. It's all good.
Scott Mills.
Alice Levine is here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, I am aware that, and I don't know why, I've been a bit spiky in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And I'd like to apologise.
Okay.
It's like I've been taking it out on you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just, you know, a punching bag for your comments. Chris gets up on his high horse with me too.
No, I don't.
You know that I love you though, right?
Yeah.
I actually do.
Yeah, no, I know you do, yeah.
Right, okay. Just wanted to, like, clear the air.
Yeah, all right.
Start again, if you like.
And I like you.
Okay.
So what's this? Clean slate. Like clean slate.
I feel like we just need to shake it off, don't we?
I listened back to the podcast and I was like, why am I being so weird to Alice?
Yeah, just don't. Just don't. Sometimes you pull someone's pigtails in the playground because you really like them.
That's the thing, right? I only do it because I love you
so
much.
I fancy you.
I don't fancy you.
That's what you did at school, though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
sort of chase the ones you fancy.
We don't have to say you don't fancy me. Like, with such disgust. I don't fancy you.
See, it's happening again.
Oh, God.
All right,
let's move on.
Let's do real or no real.
A man dressed in a gorilla costume is still running the London Marathon, even though it officially ended on Sunday.
Oh, don't. Because some of the costumes are, let's be honest, not streamlined.
This is my worry about ever doing the London Marathon, because I won't be fast at it, and I will be taken over by an 80-year-old man dressed as Pocahontas or something. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's depressing what you get overtaken by, isn't it?
I think that's the you would always remember that. Oh, I got overtaken by a hot dog on mile 24.
Or if it's someone dressed as a bus, that kind of thing. You know, the really elaborate
ones. Two people in it.
Yeah, the ones with two or three people in.
How is he allowed to still be going? It finished days ago.
Well, I don't think they'll have officially kept all of the blockades and everything up for him.
No, all of central London still closed off.
Yeah. But But surely he couldn't still be doing it now. He wouldn't have stopped to have any tea or anything.
Yeah.
Unless he has stopped, unless he's had a few nights in a hotel along the way.
Which is what I would do.
I would love
that. I mean, that's the way to do the marathon, right? Real or no real, Alice Levine.
I'm going to say there will surely be people that haven't finished it. Because if you walked it, it could take you a long time. I'm going to say real.
Chris.
It's a committed gorilla. I'm going to go real.
That one's real.
Oh, yes. Man, well done.
Absolutely true. Police officer Tom Harris is crawling the 26-mile course, gorilla style, to raise money for the gorilla organisation. So far, he's raised over £20,000.
Whoa.
But his knees are pretty scabby now.
Oh.
He is having rests overnight and is expected to finish later today or tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
And next.
Thanks to a product placement deal with the nightclub Pasha, the cast of Hollyoaks will be flying to Ibiza to film a load of storylines set in the club.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a bit like they do on Towie, isn't it?
Mm.
Where they get the run of mobs.
Yeah, they do. They've rented it all out.
All of it.
There's only so much drama that can happen in that small village. Do you know what I mean? For the amount of shops and amenities there are around there, the amount of sort of stuff that goes down, they need to bring them somewhere else.
Yeah, there's only one corner shop.
I visited the set once when I did my cameo.
I have too.
Have you?
It's weird, isn't it?
A bit weird and really small.
Yeah.
Have you been on Hollyoaks as well?
I haven't actually been in it, although I did move around some of the props and put up a picture on the fridge, which might still be there.
I had a great day as a policeman.
I forgot that you were a policeman.
Yeah,
you can still see it on YouTube.
I was fit in that, you know.
I seem to remember that it was a good time for you.
It was. I was fit there.
That was a good thing to do, actually, Hollyoaks, and a bit jealous of that. Although I'm jealous of you, Alice. I turn on my TV Saturday morning.
Go on.
Saturday Kitchen. She's only on there, Scott.
I know, you text
me. The report, I text Scott right away, because we've been rejected several times from that show.
Oh, have you? Mm. Well, yeah. I was talking about chutneys. Maybe you weren't pitching the right ideas.
I know, how did you... Like, why are you the chutney queen?
You know, I love a relish.
Have you ever done any dodgy product placements, Alice?
I'm trying to think.
Didn't you DJ in a luxury t-shirt once? Sure, I remember that.
Oh, no, I did.
Did you?
In a t-shop.
And the window, I was in the window of the t-shop, and the window's quite close to Radio 1 Towers. So it was at the time when everybody was leaving work. So everybody just stopped, including Greg James, to take loads of pictures of me.
Oh, Greg happened to be passing, did he?
Yeah.
It was like a posh tea shop with your chamomiles.
Yeah, all of the Lapsang Souchongs, right. All of those.
What?
Yeah.
What's that? And what was the music then? Iced tea.
Like what? Yeah, all of the tea ponds were on.
Yes. Only you could DJ
Push a
luxury.
A tea.
Black coffee.
No, they explicitly said no coffee songs.
I love this. Only you could DJ a luxury tea shop. It's so up your street.
It's great.
Right, are Hollyoaks flying to Pasha to do some scenes there because they've got a deal? Real or no real, Chris?
I'm going to go real.
Alice.
I'm going to go no real.
That one is no real.
There is no product placement deal, but the cast are filming in Ibiza soon, and loads of episodes will be set there over the summer holidays.
It's going to get messy, isn't it?
In it, yeah.
Scott Mills.
Alice Levine's here on Real or No Real. Good afternoon.
Hello, boys.
Got a final fact for you.
To promote the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie, you can now listen to the entire soundtrack by plugging your headphones into a promotional bag of crisps.
Oh, shut up. Don't be so ridiculous. What do you mean?
Exactly. I can't even imagine what that would be. There'd have to be a small stereo inside the crisps.
That's heavier than a grab-and-go bag, isn't it?
Yeah. That's weird. Crisps where you can listen to music. It's the future.
Like, I'm sure they can give you a code where you can then download some music. I'm sure that kind of thing can happen.
They still use those QR codes here.
Oh.
Do you remember those? Yeah. That they were on in a big way and then just didn't happen.
Yeah. They're talking of old things. Do you remember where 3D, you'd get those glasses and one side was red and one side was blue? Yeah.
Did you ever subscribe to the Dinosaur magazine? First one was always 99p and then the rest were really expensive.
£300.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
There's like a gemstone one as well.
Yes. Were you a subscriber?
Well, always the first one of every single type of magazine. But then afterwards, they hiked it. They knew what they were doing, didn't they?
I had a 3D poster of Lara Croft on my wall.
I bet you did.
And you had to wear the glasses to really see it.
They were like, take them off, Chris. And you were like, I won't.
So the rest of the time, it's that kind of, it looked like a weird poster because there was all the red lines on it and
right.
things for the 3D.
Well, so she was kind of blurry.
So she was blurry on the wall,
but
when my glasses went on,
it's like she was there with you.
This is horrible. You gets into bed at night. Oh, time to put the glasses on. Right, so is this true? You just plug your headphones into a bag of crisps and you get the entire soundtrack of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
This annoys me as a promo idea, so I'm hoping no real.
although I'm hearing this Guardians of the Galaxy thing everywhere at the moment, so it wouldn't surprise me, so I'm going to go real.
That one's real.
Oh.
True, you can now enjoy your bag of nacho cheese tortilla chips with built-in controls that look like a cassette tape and a headphone jack. They're even rechargeable, so you can listen to classics from the likes of Fleetwood Mac again and again and again.
What's happening?
But it looks like they're only on sale in the US via Amazon, so you won't be able to get them anytime soon in your local supermarket.
Well.
At the end of that round of Real or No Real.
It's a draw. I got 20, Alice, you got 20.
That's quite good for us at the moment because we've been getting some low scores these days.
Yeah.
And when are you next on the radio?
I'm on Saturday, actually.
A week on Saturday?
No, on Saturday.
Don't start. I said it would be nice. And Sunday? Don't tell
no
me you're
way.
Off on Sunday.
You serious?
Oh, my
no,
God.
No. I'm here on Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
not another one day.
I really wanted to see what would happen if I said I was off, because I feel like you might throw me out of the studio.
So a double dose of Alice Levine.
It's a special weekend, both
a rare double dose on Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock.
I can't believe this is my reputation when you two are never here.
The cheek of it. See you next week, my love.
Yeah.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
We're back tomorrow from 1, and on New Music Friday, we have a world exclusive from All Time Low. Brand new music from them, and Jack and Alex will join us. Scott Mills.